In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Think with me for a moment. What wouldn't you give to be able to do something again? We often look back at a wonderful experience, then look forward in hope and in longing to experience it again. The romantic among us might say, "Oh, what I wouldn't give to experience first love again." The foodie might say, "What I wouldn't give to have that delicious, mouth-watering meal again." And when we have trouble getting out of bed some mornings, we might say, "Oh, what I wouldn't give to be young again." And as a lifelong Red Sox fan, the Sox had an 86-year World Series championship drought that spanned from 1918 to 2004. And I heard a lot of what I wouldn't give to see the Sox win a championship again. And if you are a Dodger fan, and I am one too, and 30 years feels like such a long time, you might be saying, "Oh, what I wouldn't give to see the Dodgers win the World Series again." Should I keep this on? To hope is different than to dream. To dream is to wish for something that we have not experienced yet. I dream of winning the lottery. Or you might say, I dream of meeting Prince Charming. But to hope, the most powerful hope, is often grounded in having experienced something wonderful and maybe even life-changing and wanting to experience it again. We know what to hope for because we've already felt it before. In our gospel account this morning, Jesus and the disciples couldn't pass through Jericho without being stopped by Bartimaeus, a blind beggar sitting by the roadside on his cloak. Bartimaeus persistently cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And what was it that he so desperately wanted from Jesus? "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus stopped. He saw Bartimaeus and responded to his persistence. And when Jesus called Bartimaeus toward him, Bartimaeus threw off his ragged cloak that likely had on it the shekels that passers-by had tossed at him, the money he needed for his next meal. And he left it all behind, sprang up in a leap of faith, and walked towards Jesus even though he could not see. "My teacher, let me see again." We don't know what caused this blindness. We don't know for how long he hasn't been able to see. But we do know that Bartimaeus was not always blind because he wanted to see again. What it was like for him to have lived without seeing, to have lived in this darkness, and what was it that he missed? Was it the faces of the people he loved? Was it the beautiful colors and sights in this world? Was it his sense of freedom and independence and ability to do things? We do not know. But we do know he missed seeing, and oh, what he wouldn't give to to see again. The story is close to my heart because my dad has been steadily losing his eyesight in the past 2 years. These days, he can only see traces of shapes and light. He could recognize my voice, but he can't see my face. Oh, what he wouldn't give to see our faces again. On his better days, he finds enough curiosity to experience the world with his other senses. But there are many difficult days when he feels sad from the tremendous loss and when he feels lonely and isolated. A once proud man, he is much more reclusive these days because he doesn't like to be seen needing help. The hardest part for him and the hardest part for me to see is that he has been losing sight of who he is. My dad, he whom in my eyes is someone I love and respect and regard for who he was and who he continues to be. Oh, what he and I wouldn't give for him to feel his old self again. He too longs to return to the familiar place of seeing himself. For Bartimaeus and for my dad, the darkness is physically real, but the darkness is also felt emotionally and spiritually. To lose sight of who one is, to not be seen for who one is, can be a very dark place. At that time, when Bartimaeus was sitting on his cloak by the side of the road, he wasn't just hoping he would regain his sight. He was likely hoping he would regain his old self again and be seen once again with dignity and respect and with love by others and by himself. Bartimaeus cried out for Jesus, and Jesus stopped, stood still, and then Jesus looked his way and saw him. On that day, he was important enough for Jesus to stop and see him. He probably felt seen and loved for the first time in a long time. And because he felt seen and loved by Jesus, he got to see himself again. That moment changed everything for Bartimaeus. Not only did he regain his sight, he also saw something new, experienced God's love so powerfully that he responded by immediately following Jesus. What he wouldn't give to experience God's love and God's goodness again, and he did on that day. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, speaks frequently about our belovedness, how important it is that we find ourselves being loved by God and being loved for who we are. God sees us. But when we lose sight of this love for ourselves and for each other, we find ourselves in darkness. And as the beloved, our most powerful gift to others is this gift of love. The power of love is a gift that transforms us and transforms those around us. There's been a lot of hate in our world, even this week, with yesterday's shooting at a synagogue in Pennsylvania and the bomb packages from earlier in the week. This morning, many of us woke up to a letter from the presiding bishop, an email, and his urging for us to love, to pray, and to act. In the midst of the hate, Jesus commanded us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Our charge is to see ourselves as God's beloved and see others as God's beloved as well. Our charge is to become the light that transforms the darkness. Our church's vision statement calls us to radiate God's love and peace in our ministry to the world. To radiate love means that this love is not for us to keep or to hold on to. This radiating love cannot be contained. Bartimaeus, he responded. He didn't just stay on his cloak when he felt seen and loved by Jesus. And we too are called to love, to pray, and to act. So who are the invisible people in our lives, waiting on their cloaks, waiting to be seen and loved for who they are? Are they sitting next to you this morning? Or might they be your neighbors or people in your community? Who are the people that might be erased if we don't see them and love them and speak out for them as Jesus did? And how might seeing and loving and speaking out be part of following Jesus on the way? Now, I could be quoting some obscure theologian right now, but instead I'll quote Dick Briggs. This past week at our men's small group, Amen's Corner, those present each answered the question, of all the things you can be doing, why do you choose to come here? Why do you keep coming back? Dick Briggs said, I keep coming back because there's hope. There's hope in our faith. Christianity is a very hopeful religion. Hope, especially based on experiences of love, pulls us forward. We look back and we see the love shown to us by God and by others, and how powerful and wonderful to be loved. This love then helps us look forward. And just like Bartimaeus, to be seen, to be loved, it changes us. This love gives us hope. The most powerful hope, being grounded and having experienced something wonderful, having experienced being God's beloved, and wanting to experience it again. So what wouldn't we give to see God's love again? And what wouldn't we give for more people to see this love of God? So may we radiate God's love for those who are not seen, so we can be transformed by God's love and truly see everyone and ourselves as God's beloved. Amen.